The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. To understand today's Gospel, we have to remember that in Jerusalem, throughout Israel, in the time of Jesus, there were two different forms of currency, two different coins that were used. There were Jewish coins, which had symbols and numerals on them, but no images. And there were Roman coins, coinage that the Romans imposed upon any nation that they conquered. And these coins bore the image of the Roman emperors and of Roman gods. Now, these coins, the Roman coins, were unclean in the eyes of the Jews because they depicted idols. And so this was the reason that tax collectors were considered to be public sinners. This is the reason that at the Temple of Jerusalem, there were money changers. You couldn't put your offering into the collection boxes of the temple, bringing pagan gods into the Lord's holy place. So outside the temple, there were money changers who exchanged your ordinary Jewish coinage for Roman coins. And they did this, of course, for a profit, and oftentimes with a profit that was extortion. And then when the Jewish priests wished to use the money for any expense whatsoever outside of the temple precincts, they had to change them back. So the money changers made money coming and going, a little like the IRS and Revenue Canada. So that was the system at the time of Jesus. So now the Pharisees, the leaders of the people, are looking to trap Jesus. The Gospel says literally they wanted to tangle him up in his own words. So they sent some of their disciples to propose a question to him. But they begin with great flattery. "Teacher, we know you are sincere. You teach the way of God truthfully, and you show deference or partiality to no one. Therefore, tell us, yes or no, can we pay tax to the emperor? Is it lawful to pay tax to the emperor?" Now, all this was done to set Jesus up. Because if he said, yes, it is lawful to pay tax, then he could be accused by the Romans, he could be accused by the Jews of being a Roman sympathizer. If he said, no, you must not pay the tax, then he could be accused to the Romans of being a rebel, of practicing sedition. So they think they have Jesus trapped, but he sees through them. "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin that you use to pay the taxes." So they pull out a coin, and the coin has the image of the emperor, Tiberius, on it, and an inscription. And the inscription reads, "Tiberius Caesar Divi Augustus Filius Augustus, the divine Tiberius Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. That was because the Roman Senate had been forced by two previous emperors to declare those emperors, Julius Caesar and Augustus, gods, during their own lifetime. So the present coin reads Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. In other words, son of God. That's the coin used to pay the tax. Whose image? Whose likeness? Now the word in the gospel in Greek for image is icon. Whose icon is on the coin? And when they answer Caesar's, Jesus answers them, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give to God the things that are God's. Now all this is because in the book of Genesis, we read, God created them male and female. In the image and likeness of God, he created them. So what is Jesus saying here? He's actually saying, yes, it is lawful to pay the tax, though he does so in a way in which he can't be quoted exactly. But he's also saying, give back to Caesar the money that belongs to him. You, however, you are created in the image of God. You owe worship to God and to him alone. That's what Jesus is saying. And the gospel goes on to conclude with a sentence that for some reason is not included in the lectionary reading today. When they heard him, they marveled and went away. They understood exactly what he was saying. All the readings today, the Old Testament passage and the New, are chosen around this one theme. We owe obedience and deference to the laws of the land, to kings and to rulers. That's what Isaiah says in the first reading from the Old Testament. But to God we owe worship, and only to the one true God. Him alone do we worship, for he is the source of our life. He is the source of everything. And so our relationship with him is different from our relationship with any other human authority. That's what the gospel and the readings today leave us with. But it's not simply so that we obey the laws of God. That's only part of it. What Jesus is teaching by his words, and what we need to remember, is our dignity, the gift that is given to us by being created in the image and likeness of God. We have been given an intellect, a mind with which to think, so that we may know him. He is absolute truth. We've been given a free will so that we can choose to do what is right and good, and so that ultimately we can choose him who is the absolute good. That is what is special about us, and that is what we need to remember. One of the saints who's commented on this passage in a very beautiful and very pithy way is an Italian Franciscan named St. Lawrence of Brindisi. I'm sure most of you have never heard of him, unless you come from Italy. Brindisi is a sea town. Now, it was customary for many centuries in the Franciscan order that when you entered the order, you received a new name, and instead of being known by your family name, you would be known by the name of your town. And that was done so that everyone was equal. Whether you came from a noble family or a poor peasant family, all of that was left behind. So instead of referring to St. Francis as Francis Bernardone, we call him St. Francis of Assisi. We refer to St. Anthony of Padua. Actually, that's because the Italians stole him from the Portuguese. He should be St. Anthony of Lisbon, but since he died in Padua, he's known as Anthony of Padua. But his own name was Ferdinand of Lisbon. Padre Pio is called Padre Pio of Pietrelcina. His birth name was Francis Forgione, and he was from the village of Pietrelcina. Well, Lawrence was from Brindisi. And Brindisi is very famous because the term Brindisi is not just the name of a city, but it means to have a toast in Italian, fare un brindisi. So when I was in seminary, if someone knocked on your door in the evening and said, we're having a novena to St. Lawrence of Brindisi in Jack's room, you knew that there were drinks to be served later on. Lawrence of Brindisi was a wonderful preacher. He was made a doctor of the church by John the 23rd. And this is what he said about today's gospel. Jesus teaches that we owe a twofold duty of obedience to human laws and to the law of God. The coin bearing Caesar's likeness and inscription must be given to Caesar, and the one stamped with the divine image and likeness must be given to God. We bear the imprint of your glorious face, O Lord, in our souls. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So you, O Christian, because you are a human being, are God's tribute money, a little coin bearing the image and likeness of the divine emperor. So what he's saying there is that our greatness is because of this image impressed within our souls. And although in the eyes of the world, we might be considered small change, a little coin, in the eyes of God, we are most precious. And that is what we must remember. Because doing so gives us the strength to do good, to be faithful, and to do wonderful things, great things, for God's glory, for the good of our neighbor, and for our own happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.